The Lord be with you.
With your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you.
Jesus said to the Pharisees, "There was a rich man who dressed in purple garments and fine linen and dined sumptuously every day. And lying at his door was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who would gladly have eaten his fill of the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Dogs even used to come and lick his sores. When the poor man died, he was carried away by angels to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried, and from the netherworld where he was in torment, he raised his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he cried out, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering torment in these flames.' Abraham replied, 'My child, remember that you received what was good during your lifetime, while Lazarus likewise received what was bad. But now he is comforted here, whereas you are tormented. Moreover, between us and you, a great chasm is established to prevent anyone from crossing who might wish to go from our side to yours or from your side to ours.' He said, 'Then I beg you, Father, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they too come to this place of torment.' But Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them.' He said, 'Oh, no, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent.' Then Abraham said, 'If they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead.'" The Gospel of the Lord. When my mother was 90 years old, she decided to leave her condo here in warm, sunny Tucson and return to the less warm and sunny central Wisconsin, where she was raised with her 10 brothers and sisters. She loved the woods, the rolling hills, the rich black soil and all that it would grow. It was there that she felt the strongest connection to her full humanity, to her origins as a person. And she lived there for nearly 7 more years. And whenever I was able to visit, I could sense in her an aspect of peace and comfort that just wasn't evident during the 40 years she spent in the Southwest. I think that peace came from living right in the middle of those deep, deep connections. Not long before she died, I went for a visit. She had become reluctant to talk because she's 96. It was a little difficult for her to get the right words from her brain to come out of her mouth. I found her working on a jigsaw puzzle, and I put my hand on her shoulder and sat down next to her. She looked at me for about a minute without saying a word, but slowly a sort of shy smile started to come across her face, and she said, "You're mine, aren't you?" She got the right words that time. There I was, with my own point of origin for this life. It was profound, it was poignant, it was comforting and mysterious, all at the same time. "You're mine, aren't you?" Those words are a good way to look at the very challenging scriptures that we just heard. First, we heard from the prophet Amos. He's often called God's prophet of social justice. Amos was in the 8th century before Christ, and this was a time of significant prosperity for Israel. They were at peace with their cousins to the north. Things were going well. But the prosperity was being given only to a few of the Israelites. And Amos is condemning the continued exploitation of the poor in Israel as Israel's wealthiest citizens got wealthier and wealthier. Amos is an in-your-face kind of guy. Today's text isn't explicitly aimed at the perpetrators of the economic injustice. The first words there speak of the complacent. This text is very clearly aimed at those who are comfortable and not paying attention. They recline, they drink, they dine without any concern at all for those who are suffering from the economic system that is producing their wealth while crushing others. Amos, on God's behalf, is not condemning wealth itself. It's the exploitative ways in which it is being accumulated and the ability of the comfortable to ignore the plight of those who are being oppressed. That's what he's condemning. But that was nearly 3,000 years ago, and things are much better now, right? And then we hear Jesus tell the story of the beggar Lazarus, camped out on the doorstep of a well-fed, richly dressed man of the community. Three words at the beginning of that reading, lying at his door, tell us, if we look carefully, that this wealthy man had to consciously ignore Lazarus. He probably had to step over him to go about his business of gathering more wealth in for himself. Again, that's an ancient story, and things have changed, right? In the Lazarus story, Jesus is not condemning wealth. I don't read that at all. The rich man's soul is suffering, not for being rich, and not for failing to solve all the poverty in the world. It's ignoring the law of Moses and all the prophets, and refusing to see and respond to the suffering at his own doorstep. That's what causes his suffering. On a personal level, it is really frightening to look at true poverty when it comes right into our faces. We turn away. It's uncomfortable to witness. Here I have to confess that I once stepped over a man begging for change outside a Walgreens on Van Ness Avenue in San Francisco because I was on my way to catch a bus so I could go to a social justice seminar while in grad school. It happens, huh? But then Paul today, nicely done, by the way. That's one of those thousand-word Pauline sentences. What he's essentially saying is, this is a lifetime job for us. We're not going to be perfect yet, but we are called to keep trying. But like the Israelites that Amos is talking to, and like the rich man in the Lazarus story, we really can look at suffering and injustice straight in the face and think, thank God that's not my problem. You're not my brother, my sister, my child. You're not mine. So consider this. As you participate in our communion today, open yourself to the Holy Spirit. Pray for the grace to recognize the suffering in a neighbor, or even better, in a stranger, wherever you encounter it next. And pray to replace our reflexive thought of, not my problem, not mine, with, you're mine, aren't you? And then trust the Spirit and do something that heals and brings life. Amen.